Mosey TV.
Welcome to Martin Zender Television, MZTV. I am Martin Zender. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, making sense for a living 5 days a week here in Fort Lauderdale. Welcome to the show. I can't get that stater out of my mind, the coin that Peter pulled miraculously out of the fish, that was miraculously produced inside the belly of the fish. I have a interesting new thought about that, which is going to lead me to the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that was given to our Lord by the Magi, which will lead me to the vase broken by the woman at the feet of our Lord, from which the perfume came out and anointed him for his death, which will lead me to your life and your walk in Christ. All that in one show. Hard to believe, but it's going to happen. But first, I'm going to ask you if you know about my blog. Now, I wrote a blog in 2006 and 2010. It's a static blog. It's not an ongoing thing. But there's some really worthy writing there. In 2006, I really had the impulse to write about my life, what was happening at the time. My three kids were at home and my wife, and it was a good time in my life. I was doing this work, and so I have thousands of words and some really cool pictures from that time. And many of you probably don't know this exists, so I'm going to put a link down here to my blog. It has a name. Oh yeah, it's called Zenderville. And then I made a blog in 2010 when I was living with the Pilkingtons. I was living with Clyde Pilkington for, I think, a year and a half. And many people came to visit us while I was there, and I took pictures of everyone. There's some really inside family pictures from that era, and I think you'll enjoy that. The blog from 2010 concerns the fellowship that we had with people, and I tell the spiritual journeys that some of these people had. It's just some enjoyable reading. So in case you didn't know that existed, the links will be down here. And I bring that up, well, first I have to say this. I know I've criticized some of Clyde's teachings, but it's always on a professional level, because I have nothing but love for that man. I had a pretty spiritually harrowing experience in Colorado in 2011 and the first part of 2012. And speaking of being broken, I was a broken man at that time, and Clyde and his family gave me a home. Well, they didn't give me a home. Well, yeah, actually for 6 months, Clyde didn't charge me any rent. He said, you need a place to land, and we're here for you. We're your family. And I can't speak enough about the love that that man and his family showed to me. And you'll see a lot of those photos from my blog during that time period. I think around 2012, 2013. And so anytime I criticize any teachings of Clyde, it's only the teachings. It's not the man. He's an extremely loving man, and I was welcomed into their home. I had my own place in the house, my own room, but it also gathered together with the family for meals. It was just a great time. Some of you watching this show now visited us there, and so you know about what a broad heart and a generous spirit this man has, Clyde Pilkington. And the work he does is amazing. He prints books that would not exist. In other words, they would be out of print. Some of Dr. Bollinger's works, Clyde keeps them alive. It's his mission in life to keep worthy literature alive, and he does it via reprints with his publishing company, Pilkington and Sons. And he carries my books as well. His website is studyshelf.com. You can also get the Concordant Literal New Testament from Clyde. So I just want to honor him today as I'm thinking back on that blog, thinking back on my time with that family. they really helped to heal me. I was in need of healing, and they healed me. So I love them for that. The reason I thought of the blog is when you start a blog, they ask you to put a photo of yourself on there, and they want you to make a comment, like describing yourself in a sentence or two. And I can't remember my profile comment verbatim, but it was something like, I am a broken vessel from which the perfume of Christ spills out. And that's it. That's me. I can't deny that the perfume of Christ spills out of my life, but it does so just like the vessel that was broken by that woman at Jesus' feet. It does so from a broken vessel. We're all broken in our own ways, in our own walks with God. He doesn't really allow us to be whole, does he? There's something always shattered in some corner of our life. But that shattering of our vessels brings forth the perfume of God and the perfume of Christ. It's an amazing thing. And some of the videos over the years that I've made when I've not felt like making a video, when I've been so down and so low, I can barely talk, and yet I have a job to do, and I would say to myself, look, I'm going to turn on the camera anyway, even though I feel terrible, and I feel wrecked, I feel worthless. And over and over again, people have pointed to those videos and said, those were the most powerful videos that you've made. I don't know why that would surprise me, because that's the way God works. Nobody wants to hear anybody preaching from some high ground of having it all together, just in possession of all the good things in life. It's like, that's boring. I think of Joel Osteen, not one of my favorite characters. I don't know why so many people flock to that guy. I don't get it. He's never broken. I mean, he's got to be broken deep down. The man is shattered. The man is going to realize how broken he is when he gets to the great white throne. But I guess he's intent on maintaining this false front, this fantasy of everything's great. Maybe everything is great in his life as far as those things like I spoke of yesterday, those surface things that people look at and think, boy, if I just had Joel Osteen's teeth, if I just had his wealth, his house, his wife, yeah, I'd wish every day was a Friday too. And yet his messages are so vapid. They're so empty. They're so surface. There's no depth there. The depth comes from breaking. So whenever you feel God is breaking you, hell, turn on a camera, record it. We want to see it. Not because we like to, you know, look at a car wreck or a train wreck. It's just that when your life is touched by the Spirit of God, as your life is, and you're going through something, boy, that's a valuable time. And that's a time where you can really share something with people. So I was talking to my son, Gabe, my believer son, my oldest son, on the phone, and we were talking about the video I made of the Peter pulling that coin out of the fish's mouth. If you haven't seen that video, watch it. It's called The Most Remarkable Miracle on Record, or The Most Fantastic Miracle. I forget which adjective I used, but it's an amazing miracle that our Lord performed. And my son and I, we have these conversations that just start at one place and they go into really wild places. And we wondered if that coin still existed, that very coin that Jesus pulled from the fish, the stater. And I'm sure that it does exist somewhere. I mean, it's metal. Even if it was melted down, somehow the elements still exist. But I like to think that coin still exists, and possibly somebody has it in their possession. as a collection. But nobody can know, of course, that that is the miraculous coin. But the startling thing that my son Gabe and I were talking about was the fact that Peter took this miracle coin, and instead of saving it, instead of putting it on a shelf at his home or auctioning it off as the miracle coin that I pulled from a fish at the behest of the Lord, what does he do? It was for a practical purpose. It was for paying the temple tax. And so the Lord produced that coin miraculously for a common purpose. This is the shock. The common purpose and a low purpose, to pay a tax. And so Peter hands that coin over to the temple authorities, and they throw it in the treasury. The miracle coin still smells like a carp. They throw that coin into the temple treasury, and that coin is somewhere today. That's a fabulous thing. That coin exists, I believe. And my son Gabe believes it as well. And one of our sisters here, Jax, I'm pretty sure this was Jax. If it wasn't Jax, forgive me for not attributing correct authorship here, but I believe it was Jax, made a really insightful comment on that video concerning the mundane purpose that coin was put to. Jack said, you know, I bet that when, and I never thought of this, this blew my mind, I laughed out loud. I never thought of this. This was amazing. She said, I bet that the gifts that the Magi brought Christ, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I bet that that really helped Joseph and Mary, like, pay their bills in those early years when they were traveling to Egypt and everything. What? I never thought of that. Why wouldn't they? I mean, as a human, the first thing you would think of, I mean, we just esteem these gifts. Imagine if somebody located the gold that was given to our Lord. You would think that they would put those on the mantle. Okay, Joseph, what are we going to do with this gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Well, we're going to put it on the mantle. We're just going to admire it. We're going to look at it, and we're just going to remember how great our son is and how miraculous it was that these Magi found our son, our baby son, via the signs of the sky and the star that they followed to Bethlehem. Or perhaps they didn't go to Bethlehem. They might have gone to Nazareth, where he was reared. But to think that they spent it on groceries, I love this thought. They spent it on groceries and their rent. And maybe they used it to pay the neighbor to tend their garden. It's just so cool to me to think that these great things, which we would put in a museum, that they probably spent it. And what else would God want them to do? God's gifts are not given to us to put on a shelf and admire. I think of the parable of the unjust steward. Is that the parable? Which parable is it where, yeah, the guy goes away and he gives his slave certain amount of money, and a couple of them invested it, right? But the other guy, the third guy, buried it. He hid it away, and he gave it to his master when he came back. And his master was not happy with that. Why didn't you use it? Why didn't you invest it, do something with it, be creative with it? Well, because you gave it to me, and it's special. I didn't want to sully it or soil it, and I thought I would just keep it and treasure it and look at it and pet it and coo at it and admire it. And just, and the master was like, no, you slothful slave. How could you do something like that? So the more I think about that, I think Joseph and Mary spent the frankincense on groceries, on papaya and bananas, and they paid rent and they bought diapers for Jesus. Can you imagine spending the frankincense on diapers? I love that. And I think that's probably what happened. It never occurred to me before. And then, of course, I was reminded of the woman who broke that valuable jar of attar, a very valuable perfume, and she broke it at the Lord's feet. And Judas freaked out. Naturally, Judas, the keeper of the purse, he said, "Well, this is such a waste. Why did you pour this out to anoint a man's feet? Oh, that's gross. We could have saved that and given it to the poor." And Jesus chided Judas, of course, for that. He said, "You know, the poor you have with me always. The poor you have with you always, me you do not have always." And so the Lord loves extravagant, quote unquote, waste. That perfume was, quote unquote, wasted. The coin that was taken out of the fish that could be in a museum right now, that people would pay hundreds of dollars to see or to touch, that coin was used to pay the temple tax, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Where is it? I don't know. It's in the possession of the guy who rented Joseph and Mary their apartment in Nazareth. And this is God's way. Now take it to the next level. The son of his love, God's own son, the most valuable possession he has. What does he do? Does he keep him on high, on a golden throne for the universe to bow down to and to admire? And Jesus the Christ sits on his throne and does the parade wave as the celestial dignitaries pass by, and he's just a prima donna. No, he is spent. He is great in order to be spent. And this is the lesson, is that greatness, spiritual greatness, is not meant to be kept. It's meant to be spent. And you would think that we're doing the Lord a favor by saving this frankincense. I mean, this was a gift from the Magi. It was a very rare moment. It was special, so we're going to save it. Just like the guy with the coin that was given the talents, whatever. Oh, I'm going to save it. No, it's not to be saved. It's to be spent. I'm a broken vessel. Me, Martin Zender, I'm a broken vessel from which the perfume of God pours out. Our Lord said another thing. He said, better to throw yourself down on the rock being Christ, better to throw yourself on it than to have the rock fall on you. And that was a lesson concerning being spent. Throw yourself now at the feet of Christ. And instead of a broken vase, throw your broken body. He sees the value of your brokenness. And it's broken because we're living, because we're spending it. We're not protecting ourselves. We've been thrown into this life, not of our own accord. And we're smashed against circumstances. We're smashed against evils. And we're breaking and we're breaking. And yet, as I suggested yesterday, from that breaking, always from any evil comes growth when it's touched by the alchemy of God. From every evil comes growth, but from every breaking comes a potential sharing. Many people have written to me, communicated with me, sent me texts, whatever. They're in a terrible place in their lives, and they're venting. No, they're not venting. They're breaking. And as they're breaking, they say the most profound things, sometimes laced with profanities, but that's part of the breaking. That's part of the offering. Whenever I cuss at something, I offer everything to God. I do everything as unto the Lord, even when I cuss, even when I'm upset and I'm writhing. And I think of Job. He's upset, he's destroyed, he's writhing, and he cries out to God. And I developed a saying based on Job, and it's this: if you can't tell your maker what's happening to you, who can you tell? What are you going to do, hide it from him? This is what we were taught to do in the Christian religion, to always present ourselves, to present ourselves to God as perfect and holy. No, he's going to present us flawless. He will present us flawless. In the meantime, until that happens, we present ourselves to him as we are, And that is often as shattered vessels. But something comes out every time in that condition. And it ministers to other people. This is why I will never hesitate to turn on this camera and this microphone, even when I'm in the pit. I will broadcast to you. And I know somebody will write me and say, that show was powerful. That show got to me. That show got to me. And the reason it did is because when the vessel breaks, the perfume of God in Christ comes out. So God sends his only begotten Son to the cross. Talk about a breaking. He spends him. But here's the investment and return. By spending the most valuable thing he has, he gains the world. And Christ didn't always like it. No, he didn't. But he knew the principle. That's why he was so satisfied when that woman broke that vessel of perfume at his feet. The first thing he thought of was his own death. See, he saw in that a picture of his own death. She had no idea that that's what she was doing. But she instinctively knew. But she didn't know consciously, I don't think. But she instinctively knew that this was the thing to do. To, quote, waste this valuable perfume on him. To show him how much she loved him and how valuable he was to her. Chided by Judas, who was thinking only in terms of money. For God's sake. And so God takes the most valuable thing he has and he spends it for our sake. And now we have that treasure. And Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the transcendence of the glory may be of God and not of us. God puts his treasure purposely in vessels that are apt to crack. And in a way, they should crack. They should break, because if they don't, then you have your life on a high shelf somewhere and you're just dusting around it and you're just staring at it in the mirror. And people are afraid to put themselves out there. I've encouraged many people to make videos, to put yourself out there. And people are afraid to do it because they don't think they're good enough. They don't think they're smart enough. They don't think anybody wants to hear what they have to say. You see, you're exactly the kind of person people want to hear from. Because you don't have this great opinion of yourself. You know, you don't think you're all that. And so we want to hear from you. Because you're broken. And that's the most valuable place to come from. So all these examples come to my mind. And just to close here, to speak of the return on the investment. The return on the investment of breaking his own son was, again, that blood spilled from his vessel. The blood came rushing forth when that Roman put that spear through his heart, through the most valuable possession of God. And the blood came forth, the blood that saved us, the suffering that saved us from sin. Amazing. That's the return. And so you and me, we are also going to receive a return on this brokenness. Don't try to spare yourself any pains. Don't try to save yourself. Don't be careful with your life. Let it go. Let it break. Because I think through all these examples, we see that the life, the love, the perfume of God will come out. And when you see the return on your investment of living unto the Lord and doing everything you do as unto the Lord, you'll wish, this is going to sound bizarre, but you'll wish you had been broken even more. But God is in charge of that, not us. And so Paul says, don't worry about anything, Philippians 4:6. Another way to say that is, don't be careful about anything. Spend and be spent.